The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are short one member this morning who is caught up in traffic and will be here as soon as possible. We'll start with case 2014-373, Grace Cathedral versus Joseph Testa, Tax Commissioner. And we'll start with the appellant, Brandon Pauley.
Chief Justice, good morning. May it please the court. My name is Brandon Pauley from the law firm Roderick Linton Belfance, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Grace Cathedral, Inc. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of time for rebuttal for either myself or co-counsel, William Chris. We are here today on an appeal of the denial of tax exemption for a structure owned by Grace Cathedral, located in Summit County, Ohio. I'll refer to the structure as the dormitory. The decision of the tax commissioner, as affirmed by the Board of Tax Appeals, takes an unreasonably and unlawfully narrow view of the dormitory's purpose and utilization. The dormitory is more than a place where visitors and supporters of Grace Cathedral come to Akron, Ohio to lay their head to rest. It is utilized in a multidimensional, dynamic way that furthers the mission of Grace Cathedral for the betterment of the community at large. This is about Grace Cathedral operating this dormitory to facilitate the sense of congregation, the free sharing of ideas, the freedom of association, and ultimately,
where does all that take place?
It takes place actually in the dormitory structure. The dormitory itself has multiple rooms, not only essentially bedrooms, but also a library, a study. It contains an altar and just a general sort of community meeting room.
Counsel, are you suggesting that the tax exemption should be interpreted broadly for the taxpayer as opposed to narrowly? Because I heard you start out by saying the tax commissioner is taking a narrow view. Isn't that what precedent tells us to do with regard to tax exemptions?
Well, Your Honor, when I used the term narrow, it was in the interpretation of the purpose of the dormitory itself. Not that I'm asking the court to enlarge the applicability of the tax exemption statutes, but in this specific case, the tax commissioner, as upheld by the Board of Tax Appeals, really just too narrowly looked at what the actual purpose and use of this dormitory structure was.
Are you suggesting the dormitory was a house of worship? Is that what you're arguing?
Well, Your Honor, we're making an argument under two tax-exempt statutes. The first being 5709.12, which is charitable use exemption. The second, under 5709.07, which is the public worship exemption. These are mutually exclusive arguments. In our opinion, the facts are set in such a way that we really feel that this dormitory can fall under either of those exemptions.
Under the first exemption, don't you have to have it open to the public, however?
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe the record, although it states that supporters of Grace Cathedral come and utilize this dormitory structure, the record does not reflect in any way that people are turned away for any specific reason. If somebody has an interest where they want to come to Akron and they want to experience the Grace Cathedral, what we're going to call the experience of Grace Cathedral, okay? They can make plans with Grace Cathedral staff to come and stay at the dormitory.
Is the dormitory open 7 days a week?
Your Honor, the dormitory is open when there is a need for the use. So when visitors are in town and request to use the dormitory. Now, when the dormitory is in operation, when there are people that are visiting to experience Grace Cathedral, the dormitory itself is open 24 hours a day when it is occupied. And it's for the specific reason of being able to have the study hall, the library, the altar open and to help foster and facilitate that sense of community.
Is there an altar in the dormitory?
There is an altar in the dormitory.
And are there worship services conducted there?
Specifically, no. There are not, I guess, formal worship services that are done in the dormitory. But, and I believe the record reflects that the dormitory itself, it's meant to almost be a continuation of a worship service that is done maybe in a different building on the same property. And that because these supporters are coming from out of town, the specific utilization of this property is to keep it open so that people, say after they go to the live worship service, can continue their congregation, can continue discussion.
Is there a minister or somebody that's leading this kind of discussion, or is it free-flowing amongst the residents?
It's free-flowing. I don't think it's limited to just the residents. There are, I believe, Grace Cathedral staff, if not ministers themselves, that if there is a specific, say, request or something that is ad hoc to where the people want to go and discuss the word of the gospel, say after the church building itself closes.
So if they would have gone to, say, somebody's home and did that on a regular basis or as frequently as it happens here in this setting, would that home be a public worship exception?
No, Your Honor. I don't think it needs to be that broad. Again, the specific utilization of this property, it is something more than a place where people just lay to sleep.
What is the charge to stay at the dormitory?
Pardon, Your Honor?
What is the charge to stay at the dormitory?
There is absolutely no charge. And that is the key
but
fact
don't they,
here.
Don't they solicit donations and receive donations commensurate with the length of stay?
No, Your Honor. That's,
they don't take donations from
the... They do take donations, okay? But it is in no way connected to staying at the dormitory.
Does the dormitory take the donation, or does the Grace Church take the donation?
It would be Grace Church.
Councilman, is the dorm physically attached to the cathedral?
It is a separate structure.
Okay, so if I'm in the cathedral, I have to leave the cathedral in order to get to the dorm?
Yes, Your Honor. And it is a mere walking distance. It's not... And just to outline, Grace Cathedral has two churches, essentially church structures in Summit County. One is actually at the sharing the same property, the same sort of specific land as the dormitory. The other one is located probably, I'd say, a 20-minute drive away.
Is this a private residence for members of the clergy?
It is absolutely not, Your Honor. There is.
Do members of the clergy stay there?
No. There is no staff, no minister, no janitor, or any other employee of Grace Cathedral itself that stays at that dormitory.
Is it used, I assume that the cathedral has well-known Christian music groups come from time to time to perform, or choirs or those kind of things. Do they use the facility when they come to perform at the cathedral?
Your Honor, I don't believe so. It may be used in that purpose, but I don't have specific knowledge that it is, set forth for visiting.
So I read what you have international visitors that?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what would be a typical stay? Length of stay for?
Your Honor, to step back, Grace Cathedral, it's a global ministry. They have global mission work around the world. As such, they get supporters who want to come in and experience Grace Cathedral ministries. The average stay is a weekend.
Okay. And for example, then they have their own missionaries or missionaries that they support in the field. And I assume those folks come back from time to time to tell the parishioners what they're doing and to solicit additional funds. Would that be a typical visitor?
That could be a visit to the dormitory.
Could be or is, or you don't know.
I do not know, and it is mostly, I would say, it's people that show an interest, wanting to come and experience Grace Cathedral.
So this is a television ministry primarily, is it not?
Your Honor, I wouldn't view it as such. They do have live ministries that are
televised.
There are some that are televised. Not every worship service that goes on is televised.
And nothing that is inside this dormitory is televised?
No, Your Honor.
And what I hear you say, you're kind of skirting around it and being very nebulous on exactly the use here and the frequency. It sounds like it's pretty de minimis.
No, the frequency of use is...
Every weekend?
It's, I believe, about half of the weekends of a year.
Do you know that for a fact? What's the record
That's
say?
Supported in the record.
Okay, the record says half of the weekends, so, you know, 20 or so weekends a year, you've got visitors. How many visitors?
Your Honor, that's not set forth in the record. It really does fluctuate.
Are you characterizing this as similar to a retreat house where there would be a program that was available with a set worship schedule and so on? It sounds more like temporary housing to me for church supporters, as opposed to, say, a retreat program that would be connected with a house of worship.
Well, Your Honor, when these supporters are coming in, it is generally, and this is supported in the record, is it's generally for special events of Grace Cathedral. So I think specifically there are large Grace Cathedral gatherings and events on, say, Labor Day weekend or the 4th of July weekend. And there are, I wouldn't say that the people who come to the dormitory are told they're going to do this for a certain time, and then they're going to be transported somewhere else for a certain time. It is more of a free-flowing experience of Grace Cathedral Ministries. And ultimately, it's that experience that is instilled in the supporters that are coming there, that they are able to take this evangelical message and take it to their communities to better their communities and the world at large.
How would one become aware that you can stay overnight? It strikes me that it would never occur to me if I went any place in this country or Canada and wanted to participate in a worship service or a series of worship services, that they might put me up overnight. So I assume there's some publication of the availability of this dorm.
Well, Your Honor, Grace Cathedral actually gets supporters that reach out to them to inquire how they can come and experience Grace Cathedral. Because again, this is not a local congregation. This is a worldwide ministry. This is a ministry that does mission trips.
Is that because of the television nature of the ministry?
Your Honor, this predated television. This was...
What's this? What's the antecedent of your program?
The ministry, Grace Cathedral Ministry.
But in response to Justice Pfeiffer's question, you're saying you have a worldwide ministry, and his question is, how do people know that they can stay there? Is it because of the television advertising and ministry that they see that they inquire?
I don't believe it is advertised that there is a dormitory on campus that you can come and stay at free of charge. But it is the supporters that see this ministry on TV, that hear this ministry through the radio or see the online website of this ministry and reach out to Grace Cathedral and say, I want to come and worship. Maybe I don't have the means to travel and put myself up in a hotel. Maybe there are other considerations, but
Is this a substitute for a hotel for people that can't afford, and to come to Akron?
It's absolutely not. And I'm saying that that is a potential reason why somebody would call up and use it. But this is really, it is part of the entirety of the experience of Grace Cathedral.
People don't come to this dormitory so that they could go to the lounge, so they could go to the altar, and they can have those experiences. They come there for free lodging so that they can go to Grace Cathedral's services in person.
Your Honor, respectfully, I disagree with that assessment. The nature of the ministry itself, it is something, the ministry, it teaches the gospel word, and it creates a sense of community for these people. This is a melting pot from the four corners of the world. These people that are coming, these supporters that are coming to the dormitory. The fact that it's...
How many rooms are there in the dormitory?
There are 23 rooms. And that's not including the library, general meeting room, and...
So at any given time, you'd have 40 people, 46 people, two to a room? That's how many you have every time that it's open?
It fluctuates.
Half the weekends of the year.
There could be four people staying. There could be 40 people staying with two beds to a room.
What is the amount of the exemption requested?
The exemption, I believe the building itself has a value at $750,000, so that the taxable would be $250,000, so looking at roughly $20,000 a year in taxation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ebersole?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Chief Justice O'Connor. In this appeal, we address whether a lodging facility held by Grace Cathedral, Inc., or I'll call it GCI, and used to house out-of-town worship service attendees qualifies for exemption, either as a house of public worship or as property used exclusively for charitable purposes. As the Board of Tax Appeals held below, the answer to that question is unequivocally no. One of the longest-standing principles in the area of Ohio tax law is that parsonages and the residences of worship service attendees is not exempt from taxation. In the 1874 case, Gerke versus Purcell, over 140 years ago, the Roman Catholic Church brought a case arguing that parsonages were exempt. And this court said that no, they were not exempt because of
Isn't that a residence for clergy?
That was a residence for clergy, and the court
also— This is not a residence for clergy, as I understood the response of Mr. Pauly. Do you know differently? Or does the record show differently?
It is not a residence for a clergy, but there are
cases. And how would that case obtain in this case?
Well, that case was affirmed by the Faith Fellowship Ministries case versus Limbach. So in Gerke, they noted that the residence of worship service attendees was not exempt. And then in the Faith Fellowship Ministries case, there was temporary lodging, sleeping rooms that was denied exemption. And likewise, in the Moraine Heights Baptist Church versus Kinney case, the court noted that temporary lodging facilities were the functional equivalent of parsonages.
Counsel, your friends on the other side, though, disagree with that kind of a characterization. And what I hear them saying is we're really talking about a spiritual experience that may begin at the church service itself, but carries over afterwards. It could be for a weekend, it could be for an evening, but there are things that encourage the worshipers to come and keep that spiritual experience alive in the dormitory. Doesn't that create a difference from something like a parsonage or a simple lodging facility?
I'll address two questions. Let me just say that after the Gerke case, there was the question that you're raising rose in the Larson versus Hallady case. The Roman Catholic Church came back in 1907 and said, well, the Gerke case just denied exemption under the House of Public Worship exemption, but we're now arguing under a different theory that this is a charitable exemption. And the court said, no, in the Gerke case, we denied it under both the public worship and the charitable exemption, and it went on to explain that public worship and charity are distinct concepts. So in the Waterston case, the court was arguing that the types of things that my opponent is arguing, that the commendable activities at the priest's residences, whether it's church meetings or educational groups meeting there, the priest's various activities that are commendable in nature, and that the idea that public worship often includes a message to go out and conduct charity is not charity in itself. The court's drawing the distinction between a particular form of religious worship in public worship that, even though it encourages these types of activities, is not charity. And that line of reasoning was expressly reaffirmed in the Church of God in Northern Ohio case over 100 years later in 2009, where this court denied exemption for administrative offices to use to facilitate communication among church congregations, coordinate meetings, and so forth. The court again recognized the holding of Waterston that public worship and charity are distinct from one another, in that it expanded upon that, holding that if public worship constituted charity, well, then there would be no need for two separate exemptions. The house of public worship would, you know, fit tightly into that charitable exemption. And the court also noted, along the same lines, that church congregations share a characteristic with fraternal organizations.
Counsel, let me just interrupt you for a minute.
Sure.
And say, I'm a little confused on what the charitable exemption would be in this case. Is it because they don't charge these guests to stay there? That's the charitable aspect of the operation?
Right. I'll let the appellant speak for themselves, but the facility itself is used for temporary lodging. That's clear upon the record. There's no public worship that's conducted there. There are 23 rooms. There's a small lounge area. So the theory of charitable exemption is that it somehow facilitates other good things that go on in the community. But the property itself, and keep in mind that the use of the property controls...
that's not at all related to the ability to pay of the individuals that come there to stay.
The
charitable
right.
aspect of this.
Right. There's no reflection in the record of the, you know, financial ability of the people to stay there, who they are, or even their number. Right. So traditionally, charity has been defined by this court as advancing either mankind in general or those with a particularized need. And what this court has held is that residential property generally does not fit into that category. It is not benefiting mankind in general because it's benefiting the private residents, the persons using the property. You can imagine sleeping in bedrooms, cooking and preparing food in kitchens, attending to personal hygiene in bathrooms. These are all private uses that provide the public benefit that justifies exemption.
So you're suggesting that this is temporary residence for those who are going to be attending services at another location?
Yes, that's extremely clear upon the record.
However, we've heard that at the residence, there is a chapel, or there's a place for worship, and there's the encouragement to discuss spiritual things, etc. Does that make it into a place of public worship?
That's a great question, Your Honor. And the court has addressed a similar issue in the Faith Fellowship Ministries case, where it defined public worship to be, it's public, right? It's a collective coming together of public worship. So the type of individualized self-reflection is not public worship. And
would it make a difference if there were services or if there was a planned worship program in the dormitory itself? Would you have a different position then?
Yes, I would. If there were services being led by someone and people meeting there regularly in a group to have worship services, that would be a fundamentally different thing.
And it's open to the public.
Yes.
Not just a select group of people who happen to be staying there.
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
So that would make a very large difference. But the record shows that there's 23 relatively Spartan rooms in this dormitory and a small lounge area with the library is really a collection of the Reverend Ernest Ainslie's 33 books. And there's just a small lounge area like any lodging facility would have. So there's really no public worship, and there is a very good analogy to a hotel. In fact, the record reflects that when people do not stay, there are many people that visit Grace Cathedral to appear in the audience on the Ernest Ainslie Hour, and when they do that, they often do stay in hotels, and that's reflected in the record on pages 41 and 42 of the hearing transcript. And again, there's no showing of any sort of financial need on their part.
Presumably, then, the same type of gathering and discussion would occur in these hotel rooms or conference rooms at a hotel that would occur in these dormitories. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor. It's certainly an alternative. And so the standard for the public worship exemption is whether it's used in a principal, primary, and essential way to facilitate public worship. We know it's not principal and primary because it's principally and primarily a temporary lodging facility, but in addition, it's not essential because there are these alternatives, and we have testimony that they frequently do stay there. And keep in mind that this structure was built in 2008, over five decades after public worship began at Grace Cathedral. So it's certainly not essential in that, you know, if it weren't available tomorrow, public worship would go on as it had before. And
but,
again, there's
but wouldn't it be essential for those people who can't afford the hotel? Isn't that the point?
If that's the point they're making, right, then they haven't satisfied their burden to show that there are indeed a financial need of the people staying there. We just don't know. So
your view is that that's just not supported by the record of who actually stays there?
Right. And even if it were shown that they had a financial need, it would still be used for residential purposes. And this court has held that affordable housing is, you know, not exempt. And no property, no residential property has ever been held exempt under the House of Public Worship exemption.
So if famous performers in this kind of house of worship come to perform, to be televised, and they're put up in a pretty fancy hotel. I assume this dorm facility is more modest, and it's so it would be fair to characterize it as some worshipers are comped a place to stay overnight. Is that about what happens?
If by comped you mean that they are not charged a fee to stay there expressly, then that's accurate.
Lurking or rattling around in my mind, I don't find a citation to it in briefs on either side. Is we had a case, I think, down in the Cincinnati area where folks of the Jewish faith came to study and were provided a place, and I don't even recall the outcome. I think I thought it should be exempt. I don't recall how the court came down on that, but isn't that a bit like this?
I think you're referring to the Cincinnati Community Kollel case. Is that right, Your Honor?
Four or five years ago or so, yeah.
There was a case, Cincinnati Community Kollel, where there were actually two cases. It came here first, and the court decided that the Kollel was a charitable institution, remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals to determine whether the property was used exclusively for charitable purposes. And then when it came back up to the court, this court held that the wrong standard was applied and then remanded it again back to the board. So there was no holding that property was exempt in that case.
So we sent it back to the board twice to decide. So right. How did that come out in the end?
It came out, the board decided that it was exempt in a three-paragraph opinion with, scant message of the facts, if any.
And that differs from this facility. I mean, I assume the structures would be somewhat similar. It differs in terms of it got the exemption after two trips to the Supreme Court. Might have been cheaper to pay the taxes, I suppose. But how would that differ? The occupants were there for long-term intense study, as I recall.
Your Honor, I wouldn't agree that it is exempt. In fact, that case wasn't appealed by this court. It's merely Board of Tax Appeals precedent. But
the end result after two trips here with further guidance given to the Board of Tax Appeals was they found it exempt, is what you're telling me.
That's right.
Were those not rabbinical students?
They were rabbinical students, right. So they were
there. On a regular basis, this was part and parcel of the rabbinical studies and it was a qualification that they stayed there during the course of their studies at the yeshiva, correct?
Right, just down the street from the apartment buildings where the rabbinical scholars stayed was another building where they spent their time studying night and day the Torah. And so, this property was, deemed a very important component of that just down the street, and where they continued their studies. There was certainly a strong component of that.
It's like an extension of the classroom as opposed to the appellants would like to see this as an extension of the church.
So if here they had some evidence that the folks who came in from overseas or from far away and went to services, if they went back to this facility and read the Bible and met in the lobby and prayed together, that would be more like the Cincinnati case than continuing their studies.
I'm not sure I understand your question, Your Honor. If they were continuing studies here as opposed to
the religious experience, if it was more formalized, instead of just going back and putting your head on a pillow and going to sleep.
It would certainly be markedly distinct if there was some sort of formalized educational program that were conducted there. Again, here we have temporary lodging facility. Like, as you said, it's just putting your head on a pillow, going to sleep, conducting other private activities that you might expect in something such as a
hotel.
That's
not the type of exemption they're looking at here. They're looking at public worship exemption or the charitable, correct?
That's right.
So if the test for public worship is it's got to be principal, primary, and essential, we're kind of comparing apples and oranges with regards to the Cincinnati case and even the Cleveland case, which was another, Colel type of a situation. It's not, their theory wasn't the same as what is being presented here. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, Your Honor.
Okay.
I've mentioned that the property is not exempt either as a house of public worship or under the charitable exemption. I mentioned that this court's precedent has generally not allowed charitable exemption for residential property. It's not falling within that mankind in general because it doesn't provide the public benefit, and also the church congregations have a characteristic of fraternal organizations that they exist to benefit their own members. So it's not mankind in general. It's not a particularized need because, again, there's no showing a financial need or that there's a particularized need for shelter here. Again, that's a basic condition of human, basic necessity of human life. So the charitable exemption is defeated on that ground. The appellant has attempted to distinguish this line of cases holding that residential property is not charitable under this court's true Christianity doctrine. This is a case where the court held that the preparation and dissemination of literature is traditionally charitable. We don't have the preparation or distribution of any literature in this case. And in those cases, it was to the general public, right? So we don't have...
That was the case where they created the Bibles, was that it, and disseminated those?
Right. There's no preparation of literature in this case to the general public. It's used for temporary lodging facility. There was no lodging in the True Christianity case. We do have lodging here. There's a direct connection to public worship in this case that was not present in the True Christianity case. And again, we've said that public worship is not charity. So we have three grounds to distinguish. First of all, there's no preparation and distribution of literature in this case. Here we have a direct connection to public worship, which is not charitable, that wasn't present in the other cases. And here we have residential use that's not charitable, which again was not present.
If this facility had been used to house temporarily homeless people or women and children who had to get out of their home because of danger, that would be a charitable use, right?
I'm sorry, if it used to house women and children who were escaping as a shelter?
Yes. That would come under the qualification of charitable, right?
That's not clear. There's a case, Cogswell versus Kinney, Your Honor, from the 80s, where there was a women's shelter that was not deemed exempt. In fact, the General Assembly has carefully articulated when residential property may be exempt, such as nursing homes that meet each of several requirements, among them the provision of life care. So it's not clear that shelter would be exempt. Again, there's a private component of residential property.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, you use your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, before you get to your minute, I think I understand the concept of the continuation of the spiritual experience. But the difficulty I'm having with your argument is the Moraine Heights decision, where you have camp meeting property, which I'm sure there were the same kinds of arguments that the spiritual experience continues on into the dorms. And this court still said it's not exempt, and it took a change in the legislature to make those properties exempt. So how is your property different from the Moraine Heights property?
Well, Your Honor, two quick points about Moraine Heights. First off, with regard to the public worship exemption, the uniqueness of Grace Cathedral in the global ministry, the mission work, this is not a local church, this is a global church. So I think the facts present the necessity to look at what worship is at the Grace Cathedral location and to consider that you are getting, again, people from the four corners of the world coming in to experience Grace Cathedral, and in total, this is a worship experience that they are having at this dormitory. Now, second, I would say we are also applying for exemption under .12, the charitable use exemption, which Moraine Heights alluded that an argument under the public worship exemption doesn't necessarily prohibit you or make ineffective an argument under .12. It was just a jurisdictional issue to where they weren't able to consider the charitable use.
So which exemption is stronger in your view?
Your Honor, quite frankly, I think both are strong for their own merits. Just as I've described to Justice French, the 07 argument, as far as the charitable use exemption, it's a two-pronged test. You have to be an institution. Clearly, Grace Cathedral is an institution. And second, you have to benefit mankind in general. The global nature, the ministry, the mission work that Grace Cathedral undertakes, I'll equate it to true Christianity. This court found that disseminating a religious message, now that was through a religious message on paper and then out to the community, was charitable in nature and gave the exemption. This is instilling this evangelical spiritual message into a person and sending them back out into the community in general to spread the word of the gospel.
So are these missionaries?
They aren't missionaries, but, Your Honor, I think...
Is there anything in the record that talks about their evangelical activities once they spend a weekend here?
Not post-stay.
Is that important to your argument, that there is a dissemination of the message of the Grace Cathedral to the public?
Your Honor, I don't believe in true Christianity there was necessarily the analysis taken to the second step of what happens once people read the piece of paper. What I am saying is that...
In that case, the dissemination of the word is the evangelical activity. What I'm asking you is, once this message is cultivated in an overnight guest, how do they evangelize that? Because I hear you saying that that's part of the test here. There has to be an evangelical nature to the public, to mankind in general, that would benefit mankind in general. I think that's a pretty grandiose statement of what happens after you spend a night at this dorm.
Your Honor, I think it's evidenced in the work, the missions, and the general scope and breadth of Grace Cathedral in general.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Thank you, gentlemen.